opportunity to gather in your house, Lord. Once again, we ask, Lord, to be with us. Lord, guide us through the teaching of the scripture tonight. We pray for the glory of God in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, be present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with leaven of malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle, not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one, know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. And you may be seated. Well, I knew eventually we'd get to this chapter. And in the past, this chapter caused quite a controversy over different members that used to come here. And we were highly criticized at times over it. The thing was, I was criticized when I didn't do it, and I was criticized when I did do it. And so, you know, either people just couldn't make up their mind, or they just didn't like who I did it to, you know. And but the thing about it is, it all comes down to this. This is the Word of God. This isn't something Jerry Browning made up. This isn't something that Brother Phil made up. This is the Word of God. And it was given to the church, is what Paul's saying. This is given to the church to do for one purpose, to try to save the soul of the one that is committing the wrong, but ultimately, no matter what, to remove the reproach from the church. And Brother Branham, speaking on this very scripture, and I've got three places I'll look to tonight, but one was in Divine Healing, 1954. He said, remember Paul, what he told him over there, this man wouldn't obey the gospel. He said, turn him over to the devil for the destruction of his flesh, that his soul will be saved. That's right, you can't play with God, brother. That's the word, that word's inspired. Every word of it lays right straight to the hewing line. That's right. You'll either toe the line, .. This was give to the church in order that the church be kept pure. It's what this scripture's saying. Because it said, know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And so you've got to get rid of any leavening you have. So this man that was Paul was speaking about in this scripture, he was living with, I take it maybe that his father had passed away, and then he took his father's wife to be his wife, and the widow. And so he was living with her, and Paul said, you know, this was wrong. And he said, it's not even something that's heard of among the Gentiles, you know. And he said, he was kind of actually really scolding them why they would not rather have this one that done this deed be taken away from among them. And he said, I've judged already as though I were present concerning him that had done this deed. You hear so much today about don't judge people. Don't judge me. Well, the Bible judges. And Paul, standing on the word of God, said he judged. And what this scripture has given the church the power to make this type of judgment. Now, I had people tell me, you know, that disagreed with this. You know, they said, well, this only applies to somebody if they've committed fornication. Well, let's go back down to verse 11. But now I've written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. So he names off all these things. But then when you go to the message of the hour, Brother Branham brings it down to anyone in the church that is doing evil, bringing a reproach upon the church, and won't take correction. That then you exercise them by this scripture. And what the scripture is to do is to bring correction to that individual that won't take correction from the leadership or the pastor of the church. And so then what happens is he's going to be able to deal directly with God. And what God does is God turns an evil spirit loose on him. To Brother Branham said to whip him. And let's just read on that. This is in Questions and Answers on the Holy Ghost. Brother Branham reads this particular scripture that we just read down to the part to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. God telling the Holy Church, which is his body here on earth, telling a man that was so filthy and dirty amongst the people that he lived with his own father's wife, said such a thing in the body of Christ. You, church, turn him over to the devil for the destruction. God permits, and when he's got something he has to see done, to put a whipping on somebody, he'll turn an evil spirit loose on them so that spirit will torment that person and bring them back. He said, that's what's the matter with the churches today. When a man comes into the body of Christ and becomes one of the members and then starts doing evil, instead of you all getting together and doing this very same thing, because as long as you're holding him up, see, he's under the blood. And he just keeps doing the same thing over and over and over all the time. You get together and turn him over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord. And watch the whip of the Lord come in. Watch the devil take a hold of him. That's an evil spirit gets him. And this boy, he's speaking about the one that Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. This boy here, he straightened out. He come back. We find out in 2 Corinthians where he really cleaned up before God. We'll get to that in a little bit. And he said, then he goes on to show how that God does permit an evil spirit to come to chastise even his own people. He said, look at Job. And then he said, many times God uses evil spirits many times to work out his plan and his will. In the midst of unpardonable sin, Brother Branham is speaking about people bringing a reproach on the church. And in this particular one, what he dealt with was people that were coming into church and exercising gifts like speaking in tongues and interpretation, all these things, and then going out and living like the devil. And he said, that's not of God. And he said, they bring a reproach, actually a reproach. See? And when someone is bringing a reproach on the church, that has to be removed, that reproach, because here they are, you know, you got somebody shouting and dancing around in church and going out and getting drunk on Monday. You know, that's got to be dealt with. That just can't go on. It at some point or another, and you say, well, when's it going to be dealt with? When God leads the leadership of the church to deal with it. God is long-suffering. And he'll suffer long with somebody and give them opportunity after opportunity. And what happens is God will bring correction across the pulpit to see if the individual will take the correction across the pulpit. And then when they fail to take the correction across the pulpit, according to the word and the message of the hour, what happens then is the pastor is supposed to take brothers with him and go to this individual and tell him, look, you won't take correction of the word across the pulpit. Now we're coming to you directly. And you're going to have an opportunity now to take this correction. If you don't, we're not going to stand for it now. And, you know, Brother Branham talks in the scripture about in why we're not a denomination about a pastor, and he names the brother's name, which wouldn't have really much any meaning to us. But he names this pastor and he said what happened was his son had went out and he'd married a Catholic girl. And then after that, you know, he began to say things about the church, and he began to say evil things about the church and that. And so the pastor went to his own son and told him, he said, look, you got to come before the church and make this right. Said, if you don't, then I'm going to turn you over to the devil. And he went to him and he took deacons with him to witness it. You know, and this was his own son. You know, people have problems when it comes down to their own kin. But this kin means nothing when it comes to a reproach on the church, or when it comes to being evil and disobedient to the word of God. And it ain't just down here in the South that people get to feeling that way about their kin. Everywhere, everybody, every nationality, it runs deep in every family. And they have trouble with it. They ain't got a bit of trouble with it as long as it's in somebody else's family. But when it comes down to their family, it's a different story. And then you're dealing with individuals who then, they don't want to obey the word. Paul says up here what we just read, he said, don't even eat with them. That means your own kin as well. When this has been done and they've been turned over to the devil, you're not supposed to associate with them. The Bible says you're not even supposed to bid them Godspeed. You're not even supposed to welcome them into your home. I don't care who they are. I don't care if they're your son, your daughter, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, it don't matter. That means nothing to God. The word means everything. And the thing about it is, if you'll do what the word says, then you'll get the outcome. See? But a lot of people, they'll do what the word says until it comes to family. And then all of a sudden, they make allowances. And when they start making allowances, you know what they're actually doing? They're hindering what the Lord's trying to do for this individual. They're being a hindrance. I'll tell you what, friends. If it was my own son, my own daughter, I would rather see them lost their life in this world and their soul saved than to gain them in this world and lose them in the next. But some people hold so much to the filial love. And that filial love will send your relatives to hell. Agape love, friends, loves God and the Word first. God and the Word comes before family. God and the Word comes before mama. I know down here in the South, mama comes before everybody. That's not true when it comes to the gospel. God's first in your life. Say, what in the world would I do if it had to be my husband or my wife? Well, could you say, I'm not going to associate with you anymore? You say, boy, I don't know. I never heard of that. Saw it done twice. And I saw the outcome both times. I saw David come back to God, and I've saw Seth come back to God. Yeah, that's positive proof. But here this pastor, he turned his son over because his son, he said, I'm going to give you 30 days, is what he told his son. I'm going to give you 30 days to come and make this right for the church. And if you don't make it right in 30 days, I'm turning you over to the devil for the destruction of your flesh. And his son didn't come back in 30 days. And the pastor stood up before the church and he said, we've got just so many more minutes for him to show up. And he didn't show up. And so the pastor said, he said, we turn Wesley, my son, over to the devil for the destruction of his flesh. The blood of Jesus Christ in his church protects him no longer. Brother Branham said, as long as you won't do that, he says, you leave them in the church that way, they're under protection of the blood. Here this pastor said, my son will be protected by the blood of Jesus Christ in this church no longer. Brother Branham said, nothing went on for about a month or two. Then one night, old Wesley took sick. And when he got sick, he kept getting sicker. And he called the doctor, and the doctor come up and examined him. He had a fever of 105 and couldn't find no reason for it. He just kept getting sicker. And the doctor said, boy, I don't know what's happened to you. He said, I don't know what to do. He said, we'll call a specialist. So they called in a specialist, and a specialist come in there, took him over to the hospital and examined everything. He said, I can't tell you. The boy's just looks deathly. His wife's standing there crying, everything like that, the children around the bed, everyone like that. And the doctor said, he's going, that's all there is to it. His pulse and respiration is just going down all the time. Wesley said, call Daddy. Oh, yes, Brother Bram said, that's the way to do it. That's it. He said, call Daddy. His daddy come over to the hospital real quick to see him. He said, Daddy, I can't now, but God hears my words. I'll make everything right. I'll make it right. Yes, I will. Yes, sir, brother. Right then, his respiration began to come back to normal. And the following Sunday, he was up before the church and said, I've sinned before God and the presence of this church, and I refuse to hear the pastor's words, and I refuse to hear the deacon here, and I'm asking this church to forgive me for the evil I've done like that. And said, God has spared my life. Brother Bram said, I tell you, he lined up right. That's what it's got to be. See, if you'll just do it God's way. Now, years ago when I dealt with this on different occasions, I, you know, had people asking me, saying, well, I've seen it done before and nothing ever happened to them. That's a bad thing. And I'm not going to just tell you that based on my word. I'll let you hear it from the prophet of God. He said, turn him over to the devil to loose him for the destruction of his flesh, and he'll come back. That's the way to make him come back. If he's a child of God, he will come back. If he isn't, why, he'll go on, and then the devil will send him to his eternal place. So you say, well, nothing happened. That's a bad thing for that individual. Because you know what that means? That means they weren't a child of God. Now, there's been individuals, I guess, get scared over this and have come up before this church and said, I'm sorry, and this and that and the other and everything else, and then went on out of here and turned their life right around into the devil again. But the thing about it was, at least when they done that, they wouldn't come to church here no more. The thing about it is, see, and it's what I've always said and what I always believe, what's the most important thing about an individual is not their life in this world, in this life. The most important thing about the individual is the salvation of their soul. Because they could live years in this life and die and go to hell. But what you want is for their soul to be saved. The individual that Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 5, why he turned around and he came back, made things right before the church in Corinth. And then Paul had to bring some word of correction and advice to the people of the church again. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll read a few verses here, starting with verse 6. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many, so that counterwise ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So what this scripture is speaking of here is that young man came back and made those things right with the church. That Paul, that this man that they took and they turned him over to the devil for the destruction of his flesh. And now the scripture don't go through and give you details of what actually ended up happening to this young man during that amount of time. But it comes back to show that he was reconciled back to the church. But there was individuals evidently that needed to be instructed to forgive him and to comfort him and to confirm their love to him. Now, when an individual has done something in the church, done something evil, or done something evil to some people within the church, friends, we're human. It is not an easy thing to forgive. It's not easy for us because we're human. But the closer you get to God, the easier it'll become for you to forgive. You may have to get down on your knees, but you're going to have to forgive. And not only that, you say, well, I can't forget what they've done. You're going to have to let God deal with that in your mind. So, and if you do, if you let God deal with it in your mind, then it won't come to your mind every time you see that individual. You'll not hold that against that individual. They'll be totally forgiven from you. And you won't be miserable over feeling something ill at somebody or holding something against them. Now, when God brings this correction on somebody, you know, it's no telling what all might happen. Now, the case we read about this pastor's son, Brother Bradham gives example of, you know, he took sick. But that's only one way. God could take everything that individual has from them. Because the devil don't care nothing about you no how. He don't care nothing about nobody. If you could prove to the devil that an individual standing here belonged to him, the devil still wouldn't care nothing about him. Because the devil don't have no love. I always remember the way I heard brother say it one time. Brother Donnie said, the devil will tell you to rob a bank and then call 911 on you while you're doing it. In other words, he's not nobody's friend. So when God sticks the devil loose on somebody, an evil spirit comes to torment them, it doesn't matter. God's allowed it. That's what they're here for, is to torment people. That's what they do. God just turns it around and uses it for his purpose. Torment that individual until they want to get right. Till they want to change. Till they want to make things right. And then once they've made it right, then the church should forgive them and reconcile them back into the fold. Count them a brother and sister. Now, I know there's been different things that have happened at different times in this church, and people look and say, well, Brother Jerry didn't do anything that time. I only do as the Lord leads me to do. thing. I'm always waiting on the Lord and praying about things, because God, like I said, he's long-suffering, and he's got many ways to bring correction to people. And this particular scripture that we read, this is when somebody won't take the correction, and they're just going to continue to bring a reproach upon the church. Now, I've watched people that's been here that were bringing a reproach on the church, and God removed them. And they are with us no more. And God never told me to do anything besides get up in this pulpit and preach so much down their lane that I did everything but say their name. Then they walked out of here rejecting the word of God. That's what they did. And when a person rejects the word, turns their back on it, friends, look, there's nothing left for them but the judgment. That's all that's left for them. There's no turning around. What Brother Brandon means is he says, God don't play. People many times they try to play games with God. God don't play games. Brother, like I read to you here, Brother Brandon said, Divine Healing, he says, you can't play with God, brother. But this is what we've read tonight in this scripture. This is given to the church, friends, in order to make the church better. Because when, as Paul says, suffer such a one to be that might be taken away from among you, then you realize then an individual that's doing things like that, they bring a hindrance. Do you realize how much of a hindrance they bring to the service? A great hindrance in the service. One thing, you got the pastor having to get up service after service and address that individual with one message after another. People say, well, isn't the pastor supposed to leave the 99 and go after the one? Sometimes he does it on Sunday standing in the pulpit. Sometimes he ignores the needs of all the other people to preach to one individual in the church. I've seen it over my years of pastoring. I've seen it at different times. But a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye might be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. Once that's purged, then you'll find things will begin to, services will change and begin to be different. Once the hindering individuals have left, you'll find the services will seem like all of a sudden they just got better. Why? Because then the presence of the Lord doesn't have any hindrance to flow through. See, friends, when people are doing things like this, living like that out in the world and then coming in here in church, do you think they leave them evil spirits at the door? They don't leave them at the door. They don't hang them up at the coat rack. They come right on in here to the pews with them. And it can hinder the entire service. Imagine getting up and being a song leader and having to lead songs with a bunch of evil spirits in here. You trying to worship God and other people bringing evil spirits in here, and you wonder, what in the world's wrong with me? Ain't nothing wrong with you. What's wrong is somebody's bringing some wrong spirits in here. not to keep company with them. Paul finishes this up by saying, it's got nothing to do with them that are out there without. God judges them. We don't judge them. And he says, when he's talking about not to keep company with them, he said, now not altogether with fornicators of this world, or covetous, extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. So you're gonna rub shoulders with people that ain't living right out there in the world. And ain't nothing you can do about that. But it's not something that should be going on in the house of Lord. The house of God should be pure. You're an individual tonight that knows that at some point or other in the past that you were doing things that wasn't right, and here you were in church and everything, then now your life's turned around, then you ought to thank God that he was merciful. And he's long-suffering. I had people telling me when I first came here, I'll tell you how long ago it was, we hadn't done the first thing on this church, remodeling. I was in one of those old back rooms with somebody, and them telling me that I should kick somebody out of the church. The thing about it was, at that point, the person they were telling me to kick out of the church was a better member than they were. But I had to just wait, because that individual was telling me that it's because they had a personal vendetta against this individual. They hated him. Now, I'm not going to kick somebody out of the church just because somebody else in church hates them. That person that hates them needs to get that evil spirit off of them. You shouldn't be hating nobody. There ain't no way you can come into church, sit here in the pew, and share the same air with somebody else in this church, and you sit here and hate them. You can't do that. Something's wrong with you. You need to get to the altar somewhere. But I'll tell you what, friends, I'll tell you what love will do. The devil can't stand up against love. I remember on August the 12th, I can't remember the year now, but I remember the date, August the 12th, David come up here to the front. And you know what? When I had my hands laid on him, casting them devils out, that evil spirit on him tried to rip him out of my grasp. And you know what I did? I just put my arms around him and showed love while I was praying. The devil can't stand up against love. That's the love of God. That ain't human love. Human love won't do that. They don't mean nothing to the devil. Filial love has no effect on the devil whatsoever at all. But agape love, the Bible says perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love can cast devils out, can set individuals free. Perfect love would want to see somebody have their life right with God. irregardless of what it took to get them there. That would be perfect love. Now, if you got loved ones that are out there living in the world, doing whatever they're doing, these are the ones that Paul's talking about that are without. They're without. They're not in our midst. They're not part of us. He's not telling you don't associate with them. What Paul's talking about, he says here, he says, if any man is called a brother, if a person, a woman or a man that's called a brother or sister, supposed to be a member of the church. And then they won't take correction, they won't heed. And then you bring them before the church and turn them over to the devil for the destruction of flesh. Then at that time, you break all association with them. Let them be alone. Sometimes it takes God, it has to take a person down to where they ain't got nothing left before they'll look up. With this individual here that Brother Bram talked about, his name was Wesley. God had to take him down to death. And the thing about it was, the doctors couldn't find a thing that was causing it. You know why? Because evil spirits don't show up in tests and x-rays. It was an agent of death that come to this young man. And the doctor sat there and said, ain't nothing I can do. He's dying. I don't know why. I don't know what's going on with him. I don't know what's causing it, but he's dying. That's all there is to it. His respiration and pulse just keeps going down and down and down. And there ain't a thing we can do about it. God took this young man all the way down to death's door. That's why you've heard me say, I'd rather see God bring him down to dying and them get saved on their deathbed and go ahead and leave this world than to have them for the rest of your life in this world, but lose them in the world that is to come. People, in the past, some people looked on this to be a bad thing. I even had people say, what you doing about that old blood thing? That's what they said to me. And I said, you know, that's close to blasphemy. Because this ain't that old blood thing. This is the Bible. Removing them from under protection of the blood. But look at what the purpose of it is. That their soul be saved. That's what you want to see, is their soul saved. Now, it don't mean you just go around willy-nilly doing this thing. This isn't to be used as a way for the church to just, you know, rule over people. That's not what this is about. This is about purging the church and letting God deal directly with that individual to get them saved. Because I'll tell you what, there ain't nothing you can do or I can do to save anybody. We know that. There's only one that saves, and that's Jesus. Amen. Let's stand. When I looked and saw this scripture, I knew it was coming. And it just brought back a lot of memories. And they weren't all good ones. And I'm just I'm just thankful for the wonderful group we've got. Amen. And you know, and God always has his ways of purging the church. You know, Brother Branham, in one place he was talking to Brother Neville, and he said, you know, sometimes Brother Neville, we keep dragging him in and God keeps kicking him out. So don't let the bars down. That's what Brother Branham said. Don't let the bars down. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. Ask, Lord, for your blessing on the people, God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can see, Lord, the actual positive outcomes, Lord, that this scripture has brought about. Lord, our motive is to see people saved. It's not to bring evil upon people, but it's to see people get right. Lord, as your prophet said, if they belong to God, if they're God's children, they'll come back. But if they're not God's children, then they'll go on and the devil will take them to their eternal destination. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for all your children. Lord, I pray now that you bless the people, Lord, and bring us back here at the appointed time, Father, on Sunday, and that you'll be with us, Lord, as we're preparing for the service for Sunday.